the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
The radio show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. It is you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. He's the Chief Wellness Officer of the Cleveland Clinic. I'm Joe Galewski. To reach Dr. Mike on the phone, it's 877-711-5211 or udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. Try us on iHeartRadio Talk. It's a great way to experience your favorite shows and listen to information that specifically interests you and hear what's going on in the world of health today at Radio MD and you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, to the Daily Pulse on iHeartRadio Talk. Go to iHeartRadio.com, the app. You can download an app. You can go on the web and click Talk in the main menu and then search for You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. 20 after the hour, in this hour, Dr. Gary Ginsberg, what's toxic and what's not? POPs and sticky blood vessels is one headline we'll talk about. Also, apparently some violent weather is stirring up some buried toxins because of the violent weather. There's also an element in shampoo and lipstick that's going to be phased out that we'll learn more about. And the latest update on breast milk and autism, Dr. Gary Ginsberg at 20 minutes after the hour. udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. One of the top medical news stories of the week, Dr. Mike, there's a rise in double mastectomies. What's causing the drive and a rise in double mastectomies?
Right. Approximately 18% of women who have breast cancer in one breast ask about getting a double mastectomy, thinking it will decrease their risk of recurrent cancers, and get MRIs and other things for it. 18%, so 1 in 5, and 8% go ahead and get double mastectomies. It's estimated that less than half of 1% benefit from the double mastectomies. So this is something, it's anxiety that's driving it, it's the use of MRIs, it's reading stuff in the literature. It doesn't help. So we should stop doing, you know, it's this crazy thing we used to do, and I don't know if you remember, Joe, prior to 1983, this actually stopped because of some work done at the Cleveland Clinic by the son of the founder of the Cleveland Clinic, or the grandson of the founder, I don't know, George Kreil. Because what happened is, he said, there's no reason to do this radical mastectomy, which was really disfiguring. He said, we can just do a lumpectomy and have the same long-term survival. And he was right and showed that in a study. But women used to get really radical things done to them that were unnecessary and didn't help them, only hurt them. So this is another emphasis on this. That the double mastectomy, yes, it's important for people with certain genetic abnormalities causing breast cancer, but for the vast majority of women, get a second opinion, don't get a second mastectomy or double mastectomy.
Now, what's the doctor's responsibility? If a woman wants it, is the doctor bound to give it to the woman?
He's not bound to give it. He or she isn't bound to give it. But it is. They push so hard that the physicians say, well, there's a chance you'll get more survival with it, and go ahead with it. And it really is. It is the physician's responsibility to say, hey, look, you shouldn't have this. And I'm not going, you know, and look, I'm going to stay as your physician no matter what. Mm-hmm. But this is the wrong thing to do. Let's get a second opinion and see what the second and third opinion. But women scared, they think it's going to help. It doesn't help. It only gives them more, if you will, need for recovery, more a difficult rehabilitation, more problems, not more benefit. It increases the risk of everything.
Yeah, sure. Another study out on e-cigarettes. What does this study tell us, Dr. Mike?
Well, I don't think it tells you anything. It's probably sponsored by the e-cigarette manufacturers. But what it said, this was looking at self-reported quitting, and they found that as opposed to 10% of people who had tried the patch And said they were successful. 20% said they were successful using e-cigarettes. But we don't know whether they're still using the e-cigarettes. We don't know whether they're still smoking. It just is what I would call, you know, it was like put out by the milk lobby that said, or the milk and butter lobby saying, butter is better than trans fat, so it's healthy. The lesser of two evils isn't healthy, if you will, or isn't a good. In this case, we don't know what the data is on e-cigarettes, and what we do know is there is a hazard with them, and that is the hazard is, in fact, it hooks young kids on smoking. So the greatest increase in e-cigarette usage is in the 12 to 15-year-old age group, which is also the age at which the cigarette, the big tobacco, is bought. Many of the e-cigarette companies and is using them to hook kids on cigarettes. If I could tell you, I would put every big tobacco official in jail, or at least would make them smoke their own cigarettes. Because it's just cruel.
When are we gonna know something definitive about these things? It seems we don't really know one way or the other if they're good or not good, or is there gonna come point in time where we're gonna know definitely for sure, yes or no?
Well, we'll know whether they're good or not for the individuals using them. Forgetting whether they hook people on cigarettes, but we'll know whether they're good or not for the vast majority of people in about 30 years. How long it'll take.
Oh,
yeah. So it takes a long while to get the data. Remember, cigarettes were around for a long time, and were even advertised in medical journals. I've got one from 1932 and even one from 1954 with Ronald Reagan telling how good Camels were. Because these were around, and that's in the Journal of the American Medical Association used to advertise. And it wasn't until the 60s, 30 years after they were popular in American culture, caused cancer, they caused heart disease, they caused impotence, they caused wrinkling of your skin. So it took a long while, and it's taken another 50 years for us to decrease their usage from about 40% of the public down to 16 or 18%. And now they're seeing a resurgence in, for example, the state of Ohio is seeing a resurgence in smoking and tobacco usage because they've taken away the money for prevention. So we're still in this battle of trying to help people not get hooked on something that is killing them.
udocs@gmail.com is the email address, udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. Let's talk about sleep apnea and a link to, this is interesting, a link to hearing loss, sleep apnea, and hearing loss.
Yeah, it is interesting for a couple reasons, Joe, but one of the most interesting ones is you'd say, well, sleep apnea should cause hearing loss. You know, the sound of sleep apnea is, in fact, snoring, and maybe in the partner. But this isn't in the partner. This is in the subject. And there are two theories on why this is occurring. One is that the noise, the subject who is snoring, before you develop sleep apnea, you usually in the process have a loud snore and then all of a sudden stop breathing. Well, that's bad for you from a number of reasons. It decreases oxygen flow and it increases CO2, increasing blood pressure, etc. So there are two causes. One is venous or and arterial disease causing a problem with the brain and, if you will, the cochlear, that's a part of the ear that hears sound, their ability to function. And the second is that it's a remodeling of the cochlea due to the loud sounds that the snoring before the sleep apnea is causing. So maybe it is just a destruction of the hearing apparatus due to large sound. Maybe it is because of the vascular effect.
I want to ask you about the sleep apnea after the break. We'll do Gary Ginsberg coming up next. And when we get back after 35 after the hour, we'll get back. I have a question about sleep apnea that I want to ask about, and some more medical stories too. But what's toxic and what's not with Dr. Gary Ginsberg is next up on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
You still rely on sugar or caffeine for energy? B12 is known as the energy vitamin. It nourishes your body, supporting mental function and vitality. Problem is, B12 is hard to absorb. Did you know a recent study showed almost 4 out of 10 people had B12 levels in the low normal to deficiency range? This applied to both young and old, even those with adequate meat intake. So, it isn't just vegans or older folks who need to be concerned. Until now, the alternative was getting a shot at the doctor's office. What if we had a B12 offer that was simple? Liposomes deliver B12 painlessly. No doctor visit. Why not discover what B12 can offer you? Drink the new liposomal form. Right now, you can get a bottle for 50% off at B12offer.com. This limited time B12 offer is unique and it's easy. Just go to B12offer.com for 50% off. That's B12offer.com.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize a message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. The U.S. is experiencing an increase in the number of cases of whooping cough. This is a serious illness caused by pertussis bacteria. It often starts with what seems like a common cold. Then, especially for toddlers, the cough worsens and leads to the characteristic whoop sound on inhaling. During this phase of the illness, which usually lasts more than 2 weeks, the child can get short of breath and the skin around the mouth may turn blue. Older children may cough so hard they vomit. The illness can be particularly deadly for infants who can develop complications such as pneumonia and seizures. Whooping cough is highly contagious and can spread to children who have not been vaccinated. The best way to prevent this dangerous illness is to be sure your child received all doses of the pertussis vaccine. This is usually given as the DTaP vaccine. And for more information on preventing whooping cough, visit www.cisp.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Hey, we're brought to you by Morning and Night Multivitamins and UBeauty.com. Thank you for listening today. UDocs@gmail.com, Youdocs @gmail.com. It's What's Toxic and What's Not with Dr. Gary Ginsberg every week at this time. Dr. Mike, point us in the right direction. Which way do you want to go have Dr. G go today?
Well, let's talk about pop and sticky blood vessels. You know, Gary, I send out a list of the top medical news of the week, and I often put the reference site to it. This one had the wrong reference site to it. So you've got to tell us what the data is on POPs and sticky blood vessels. It actually had the one on the prior one, that is breast milk increases autism risk with the dioxin reference to it. So I apologize. Yeah. Anyone who wants to subscribe, by the way, to the News of the Week, you can send out an email to me at udocs@gmail.com, and you get the full, whatever it is, 68 pages this week of the top medical news of the week and the information behind it.
All right, well, I'm not making
Gary?
This story up. Yeah, I'm here. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hello? Okay, well, I'm not making this story up. It actually comes from the journal Environmental Health Perspectives, which is a very highly regarded journal, a study out of Sweden, which looked at the relationship between levels of POPs, which are persistent. It has nothing to do with Father's Day. It's persistent organic pollutants. And these are things like dioxins and PCBs and old pesticides that were banned. Most of these things were banned or have really been phased down, but are still so prevalent in the environment because they just don't break down. And we have them in our blood because we're high on the food chain. We're top predators, so we eat fish that may contain them or meat and dairy that may contain them. Anything high fat, any high full fat content foods will tend to have higher levels because these POPs love fat. They partition and seek their fat-seeking chemicals. Anyway, so this particular study, and by the way, these chemicals build up in your body, so the older you are, the more you will tend to have. Babies don't have a lot, but as you grow and age, you tend to accumulate it in your body, which is significant for this study because what we're concerned about is vascular health. And whether high-fat diets contribute to vascular disease or not, there has been lots of correlations along those lines. Here is one piece of evidence that suggests that it's the contaminants in the fat that may be contributing. So our blood vessels can be sticky or they can be smooth. It depends upon the activity of certain cell receptors called, in this case, called ICAM. And they, the more that these CAM molecules are expressed on our blood vessels, the more the blood vessels allow in white blood cells, inflammatory cells, that could lead to a lot of inflammation and reaction. So these CAM receptors tend to get activated when there is damage to blood vessel walls, when there is invaders and pathogens, and some of that necessary. But you don't want these genes, these proteins turned on inappropriately and to an extra degree, because that will lead to more inflammation in your blood vessels. Blood vessels, if they become inflamed, you get a fatty streak, you can get the deposition of fat and lipid, and that leads to hardening of the arteries. So the fact that one particular PCB in the study, PCB 126, was highly significantly correlated with the expression of ICAM-1 in endothelial cells. In other words, the more of this PCB, which probably comes from eating fish and eating high-fat foods, eating certain fish, that is, the more of that in the Swedish people's blood, the more they had sticky blood vessels, which would lead them to higher clotting possibilities as well as higher cardiovascular inflammation possibilities. And these days, I don't know if you've been, you probably talk about it all the time, we're trying to hold down our level of inflammation. A lot of diseases of aging are inflammatory diseases, and we certainly don't need toxic chemicals contributing to our levels of inflammatory disease. So this is just one more reason to eat moderately to lower on the food chain and cut down on your degree of saturated fat.
All right. Dr. Gary Ginsberg's here for what's toxic and what's not. Gary, what's going to get better in shampoos and lipsticks?
Yeah, Coca DEA. It's a ingredient right now in a lot of personal care products. Especially where you need foaming, like in shaving cream and in shampoo and soaps. Dishwashing detergent tends to have it. And a study was done in 2001. It surpassed me. I didn't know about it. But the International Agency for Research on Cancer picked up on this study and found that this chemical, this common ingredient in shampoos, is a carcinogen. And it doesn't look like a carcinogen, but the ethanolin part of it, one part of it, is probably the reason for the carcinogenic activity. Interestingly, in the mice that were dosed with it, they were dosed on their skin, and the chemical penetrated the skin and caused liver and kidney cancer. Mm. And that was the alarming thing. It wasn't just, you know, on the skin causing a little skin cancer, but it was internal penetration and cancer. So that has raised some alarms, and there's been pressure now being brought to bear on makers of personal care products to get this out. And 26 makers have just agreed, groups, companies like Procter & Gamble have just agreed to formulate around Coca DEA. But in the meantime, it is something you could look for on your bottle of shampoo. I know some of the goody-goody companies have gotten rid of it years ago because it's a petroleum, it's not an, I believe it's a petroleum-based hydrocarbon that's in shampoo for a frothing foaming agent, and you could go greener with the sourcing of it. So anyway, you can look for that on the label. It's called Coca DEA or Cocamid diethanolamine.
I'm going to look for it tonight when I go back to the shower and see if it's on my bottle of shampoo. How about Violet?
Look for it before you get the shampoo in your eyes.
Okay, good idea. So this weather, what kind of effect is this Violet weather doing with some of our toxics?
Yeah. This is a story about Joplin, Missouri primarily, but it could be anywhere in this country or anywhere in the world. As the weather gets stormier, and we have tornadoes touching down in places like Joplin, Missouri, the toxic chemicals, the legacy of past industrial practices that have led to Superfund sites. In this case, it was a lead smelter. A lead smelter is where they are purifying lead from ore, and then they're using it to make things like batteries. Facilities were never all that neat and tidy, and they used to belch out a lot of lead. That lead got into soil, and in Joplin, Missouri, for example, it was cleaned up, but not all of it was taken off. Some of it was left in waste piles. Some of it was just in topsoil. And then a tornado comes along. And guess what, Dorothy? When you're flying over to Oz from Kansas or from Joplin, you're bringing with you a bunch of lead contamination. The lead contamination blew all over town. Parts of town that were never contaminated. So now you got a big cleanup to deal with. I know that Superstorm Sandy released some sediment contamination from the Gowanus Canal in New York City, leading to spreading of that Superfund contamination. So, contamination doesn't necessarily stay put, and storms can have a toxic aftermath.
All right, get to Gary Ginsberg's website soon. It's great stuff, whatstoxics.com, and listen for Dr. G's segment every week at this time in this hour on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Coming up after the break, Dr. Mike is going to tell you how to live to be 110. If you'd like to live to be 110, what that's about. And also some of the other top medical news stories of the week. Ever thought about going back to some of the... Have you ever thought about eating an acorn? Have you ever eaten an acorn? What could possibly be good about eating an acorn? And more. Maybe a real age tip of the week, too, before the end of the hour. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody. So get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hi there, I'm Juliana Rancic.
And I'm Bill Rancic.
I love my job as an entertainment reporter, but what I love even more now is being a new mom.
And you are a great mom.
Thanks, honey. I'm very proud of you. Thanks.
Like any responsible parent, Juliana and I wanted the best for our little son, Duke, and that includes a healthy future. We know firsthand that life is pretty unpredictable. We didn't anticipate getting Juliana's cancer diagnosis or even having challenges with pregnancy. I don't think anyone does. But as parents, we can plan for the unexpected.
That's why we want to share our decision to bank Duke's cord blood when he was born. The blood in a newborn's umbilical cord contains millions of young, valuable stem cells that are used to treat childhood conditions like cancers and blood diseases and are being studied as potential therapies for cerebral palsy and even autism.
Juliana and I are proud to partner with Cord Blood Registry and the Healthy Futures Campaign to help raise awareness about the value of cord blood and the options for saving or donating it.
We encourage you to take action for your family's healthy future. Go to parentsguidecordblood.org to learn more.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize a message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Dr. Mike Sugar, he's going to talk about how to live to be 110. I want to mention this, though, because I read about this earlier this week. There's a new product out there coming out, Mike, for bacon lovers. It's made out of beef. It's been 2 years in the making. They're calling it Schmaken. Schmaken. It's made from smoked and cured glazed beef slices, and it's being called a healthier alternative to pork bacon. Schmaken has, they say, half the fat, half the calories of pork bacon, and 60% less sodium. It's described as smoky, sweet, and outrageously delicious. Schmaken should start appearing in the grocery stores over the summer. Schmaken.
I don't want to say anything, but people will probably eat twice as much Schmaken as they do bacon and have the same saturated fat, salt, and more nitrates, etc. So it doesn't sound healthy to me. But in any case, you know, what they did is they looked at what caused people, what was associated with people living till 100 or 110. And they did this in the blue zones, Okinawa, etc. And the constancy is they do a little. They have good genetics, meaning their parents lived a long time, and then they have good physical activity, which they continue to do, are active in life, don't give up on life. That is, they stay active. They do physical activity as part of, you know, gathering water or whatever. It's usually part of their life. And then each one has something different. So this woman who said she's 120, drinking port wine, eating 2 pounds of chocolate per week, treating her skin with olive oil, taking up fencing at 85, riding her bike, smoking until she was 117.
Oh, my.
God, I can't believe it.
Oh, my.
Anyway, so each of them has something weird, if you will. And it's a long life, not just one of persistence. So it has to be that you're vital. And the key, if you will, we look at it, is going to be that people are going to change how they live, in fact. And my guess is that if we live to, there's, you know, I had, in 2006, took grief for saying that there's a potential of us being living to 160 if we make it to what we call the year 2030. Well, the study out from the aging group was now 160 was considered a young, if you will, estimate. And there was the estimate that many more of us, it wouldn't be just the extended lifespan at 160, but if we make it to 2030, there's the shot that most of us will live to be 160. So, Joe, as I said to you once before, don't give up your day job. Don't retire because you're going to need 3 more occupations to have enough money to survive in the same state. And the good part is you're going to be able to play golf just like you are now, maybe even better than you do now, until 145 or 150.
Hope I can still walk.
So there's a real shot of that.
I still can walk and not have to drive in a cart at 160.
That's correct.
That would be a...
And in fact, that's because the replacement parts, the way that we're learning to stimulate your own cells to regenerate normal organs. So it's starting with, obviously, knees and hips and cartilage, et cetera. The changes are occurring so fast in medicine now that we think that the people who do aging research, this is the we, not the we of the Cleveland Clinic, we of the people who do aging research, think that it may well be possible for all of us to live quite long, quite healthily.
Hey, what do you think of this? I read this week, too. I read an article about dogs that can sniff out prostate cancer. Highly trained dogs are able to detect prostate cancer in urine with 98% accuracy. They say using dogs to recognize this cancer might help reduce the overall number of unnecessary biopsies and maybe better pinpoint people at high risk. These dogs previously worked as explosive detection dogs. They took some urine samples, 200 urine samples from the prostate cancer group they tested, and about 230 samples from the control group. And the dogs were taught to recognize prostate cancer's specific organic compounds. The first dog got 100% accuracy in detecting samples from prostate cancer patients and 98% accuracy in eliminating samples that did not come from the prostate cancer patient. Dog 2 was pretty close with a 97% accuracy. And overall, the dogs had 16 false positives and 4 false negatives. How about that?
Yeah, that's pretty darn good. What it is the cancer cells produce different organic compounds, different compounds than normal cells, or different ratios, which gives the organic compounds give smells that dogs are very sensitive at. So, in fact, this is actually, a lot of this work started with lung cancer at the Cleveland Clinic, so I know very well of it and have spoken to the group that has done this. And they now have a mass spec. That is, rather than just using dogs, you can just take a sample of breath, run it through the mass spec and be able to separate out the compounds in the ratio and seem to be getting very close to as good as the dogs do. Obviously, if you've only got a couple dogs running around the country for everybody who wants to be screened, isn't practical. So if you've got a machine that is very inexpensive, a machine isn't inexpensive, but it can handle so many samples in such a short time that you could do, for example, if you wanted to screen the 2 million people in Cleveland, you could probably do that in with one machine working full-time the way this setup is, and be able to screen for a number of cancers depending on what part of the urine or air you're screening for. And it seems to be a very accurate screening test, but we're still early on. In other words, it may be in 3 years you'll be able to breathe into your iPhone and be able to get the detection of the different compounds.
Yeah, they say we humans have 5 million olfactory cells in our noses. Dogs have about 200 million. And, you know, for years, law enforcement and military have used dogs to help locate bombs, drugs, and missing people. But they also say, as you indicate, dog detection is something that still needs to be combined with other diagnostic tools, you know, the PSA, the biopsy, and the MRI. So it could be another just added dimension of detecting prostate cancer. udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. Dr. Mike, have you ever eaten an acorn?
Joe, I have, but before we go into that, let me go and just say the other thing is the pancreatic cancer test. Pancreatic cancer is going up in numbers and in virility, that mm-hmm. is in how many people it's killing. It's going to be the second leading killer if it continues at this rate in 10 years of all the cancers, overtaking breast and prostate and colon cancer, and only lung cancer will be greater. Well, the interesting thing is they're using dogs, and they're using different smell and different bacteria on the tongue to detect pancreatic cancer. So this isn't just smells, it is all four senses. And eating an acorn, I tried it once, it was pretty bitter. I have learned since that acorn meat is something that's relished, but you've got to, in fact, boil the acorn several times to get rid of the bitterness in order to enjoy it.
Oh, okay. Coming up after the break, more of the top medical news stories of the week. If you got something for Dr. Mike to talk about or address or issue, you have a question or comment anywhere along the way, it's udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. Hepatitis C, there's a hepatitis C drug available. Is it too expensive if you need it? Also, Dr. Mike will talk about odd omegas. And what do you think? Can you change your taste buds to live longer? What do you think about that? Think about that, and Dr. Mike will get back to you with the answer, and he'll tell you how, if you can. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamin C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800, or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only 1 in 5 girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now,
the words you say to her today,
can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together, we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Kids often test parental limits and rules, and sometimes parents decide enough is enough. That's when a timeout may be effective. Timeouts stop children from getting attention after they misbehave. Timeouts work best for children between the ages of 2 and 5, but can be effective for kids as old as 10 in some cases. A rule of thumb is 1 minute of timeout for every year of your child's age. For example, a 4-year-old would get a 4-minute timeout. Some guidelines for a timeout: give the timeout immediately after the unacceptable behavior so your child knows why she's being disciplined. Explain clearly why the behavior was unacceptable. Calmly place your child in a quiet, boring, but secure place. If she gets up, quietly explain that her timeout isn't over and return her to her seat. When it is over, wipe the slate clean and remember to praise your child each time and every time she shows acceptable behaviors. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Talk about your Real Age Tip of the Week for this hour. In about 5 minutes, he says it's a great one. It's a great one. So you have to stick around for the Real Age Tip of the Week for the end of the hour. In about 5 minutes here on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, let's talk about extending our lives, living longer by changing our poop bacteria and changing our taste buds. So let's talk about changing our taste buds to live longer. How can we do that, Dr. Mike?
Well, this is an interesting study where they looked at certain animal models, and the animals that didn't have taste for water, something as simple as water, and didn't love it, did better. They changed the way their cells functioned. And it apparently is that we can change the way our cells function by what we like in taste changes what we eat, which changes how our cells function. That maybe is, and it's a little further off, and but we should do this with a little more time, Joe, so I don't want to rush this one because it's such a good subject, and I'll explain it more next week.
Okay.
Or when we get a little more time. But I did want to do about the poop one because it ties in with the tip of the week. This one is that the people who live longest, the animals who lived longest, the people who were thinnest were ones who had, quote, diversity and had a lot of Bacteroides species, that is bacteria, in their poop, in their intestine. You have 10 million bacteria inside you and on you. you have about 10 million cells. So you've got equal number of bacteria. Well, the bacteria apparently metabolize stuff in ways that either give you inflammation or don't, or keep you thin or don't, or keep you healthy or don't. And so this is the hottest area of research now in the medical field. And I'll just give you one experiment. So they took mice that were twins. They were literally all born in the same litter. And by giving them different poop, some of the mice got fat and some thin, exact same genetics. Then they put the mice who were thin with the mice who were fat, and first of all, they studied their poop. The mice who were thin had more diverse poop. That is, they had more different bacteria and more of these Bacteroides species. They then put the mice together, the fat and the thin. The fat mice got thin basically by eating the thin mice's poop, which is what mice do. They eat each other's poop.
Right.
And they got more diversity. Huh. And they got these extra Bacteroides species. So we're going to see a huge number of studies now in the next 10 years, and especially in the next 3 years, on trying to change poop. Less bacteria in the food you eat, less antibiotics in the food you eat. You know, just the bacteria in the food you eat, the antibiotics in the food you eat may be causing a lot of this. The antibiotics in the milk we drink could do it alone, they showed in one study. So we're going to see a lot of difference in the bacteria and in the food we eat with the bacteria, and an effort to really get rid of the antibiotics that are used in such things as processing meat and milk.
All right. I think we can fit one more story in before your Real Age Tip of the Week. And what about oil? What oil is best to cook with?
Well, this is the oil that has proven best to cook with, that is best for your arteries, is if you're sautéing, you can use a little olive oil. That appears to be the best oil. What this story is that saturated fat, corn oil, and the processed canola oil, it's not all canola oil, it's that's highly processed of the canola oil and of the soybean oil, appear to cause inflammation, whereas olive oil and the unprocessed canola oil and the omega-3 fats don't cause it. So it apparently, those that aren't processed, that are what we call cold extracted, that is extracted without heating and without a lot of processing. So the message is olive oil looks like the best. It's actually been shown in a study that was presented at the Respiratory Disease Message this week at their symposium, their big annual meeting, that eating this is 3 grams of olive oil, so that's a lot. So it's almost cooking almost exclusively with olive oil in a day actually decreased the risk of asthma, decreased inflammation from chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. So it looks like that odd omega-9 olive oil is beneficial for you. Again, the message from a couple weeks ago is Italian extra virgin olive oil isn't the best because a lot of it is not what is on the label. The best actually proves to be California extra virgin olive oil. There are very tight controls in California of what constitutes extra virgin olive oil. It apparently is the good stuff, and it's almost universal that if you buy that extra virgin olive oil from California, you're really getting the real stuff. Has about a 20% chance of getting the real stuff if you buy the Italian version in the recent tests.
Okay, here it is. It's Dr. Mike Roizen's Real Age Tip of the Week.
And this one is the colors of your poop. That's why I did it, because it goes with that great story on the bacteria in your poop. When your body's food processor isn't functioning correctly, sometimes healthy brown isn't the color of your poop. Do a little research. Pale gray, clay-like poop suggests a liver problem. Not enough bile, and you can get ashy shades, indicating anything from gallstones to hepatitis, pancreatitis to cirrhosis. Black can be seen after consuming black licorice, blueberries, iron pills, Pepto-Bismol. And the red scares a lot of people. Beets and too many tomatoes. If all you eat is tomatoes in a day, you watch your poop, it's red. Green stools come from eating a lot of green vegetables, taking iron, or certain medications. Tarry black poop or bloody or maroon red poop is most often caused by hemorrhoids, but can be a sign of intestinal or internal bleeding. So if you see that tarry black, call your doc. Anything from ulcers to colon cancer could be brewing. Patrolling your own health makes you more than 9 years younger. You should look at the color of your poop. Don't worry, everyone does it.
And red is the scariest thing. It probably isn't in most cases, right, the red color, but like you say, with some of the things you eat, huh?
Yeah, I mean, Oprah tells the story, and she's told it on herself on TV, that one day she had a whole bunch of beets, and she'd forgotten she ate them. And when she looked at her poop, it was red. She called her doc. I told you, she called us in the middle of the night saying, "I got red poop." And the first thing, of course, the doc asks is, "What'd you eat?"
Yeah.
Because red is an uncommon color to have a lot of, unless you've got a big bleed. And it usually isn't blood. That's the good news.
Yep.
It is usually beets. But, tarry black is what you worry about. Tarry black is the worst.
Good work today. Thank you for listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. For Dr. Mike and Sonar, our put-together guy, thanks for listening today. And this is Radio MD. Stay well.
Spring and summer bring out the best of nature, but blooming flowers, grass, and weeds emit pollen everywhere. Spring cleaning, molds, funguses, and pollens can cause severe allergic reactions. It's time to fight back. Get a blast of nature's most powerful natural remedy with Oreganol P73, the most powerful oil of oregano available anywhere. Oreganol P73 is an extract of hand-picked wild oregano grown in mineral-rich soils found only in the mountains of the Mediterranean. Experience this powerful and effective spice you can't find anywhere else. It is so effective, even the ancient Greeks used oregano for their health. And it's not just a mere spice. Oreganol P73 is also available as gel caps and as a sea salt-based nasal spray. Use Oreganol P73 and stay healthy all summer long. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Available in natural food stores nationwide or visit AmericanWildFoods.com.
You may already take omega-3s for heart and brain health, but what most people don't realize is that DHA is really the preferred form. Did you know if you take omega-3s, but your body cannot convert them into the preferred DHA form, you won't get much benefit? The ultimate DHA omega-3 would be water-soluble, so it's already in the right form for digestion. That's a game-changer. It would eliminate the fish burps, be good-tasting, and all-natural. It would be environmentally sustainable from algae oil, plus non-GMO and allergen-free. Well, I have some good news for you. Empirical Labs already invented this. And better yet, you can get a bottle right now for 50% off with a special offer at TakeOmega.com. This is the only water-soluble DHA supplement, plus it's vegan. So go to TakeOmega.com right now for a limited time savings, 50% off at TakeOmega.com. That's O-M-E-G-A. TakeOmega.com.